From the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. The Millionaire Maker, Hillary Kramer. Travel with Valerie Delia. The Fox News Medical All-Stars featuring Dr. Mark Siegel, Dr. Marty McCary, Dr. Jeanette Nishwat, and the OG, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Legal analysis from former prosecutor and court journalism superstar Imran Ansari and Christine Nicholas. The quintessential heartbeat to New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other. United to bring back New York. Now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, Lonnie Perkins, thank you so much. Glad to have you with us. It is Wednesday, so that means wellness night. And we're going to check in with a couple of our favorites. We are going to talk a little bit of balance of nature and the ongoing running of the marathons to raise awareness and to help bring about the effect of America Village West. We are still in that process and will be until it is completed, which we're coming up on just a month or so now until that's done. But we're also going to visit with Dr. Mark Siegel, who is the chief of the Fox News Medical All-Star team at Fox News, and doing a great job telling the truth about what we need to know as it pertains to the big health issues of the day. And tonight we're going to talk about monkeypox, which I didn't even know was a thing. And then I hear the word, and the next thing I know is people are saying I'm going to have to get a vaccine for it. So I'm going to have to ask him about that, because I don't know. I don't know if I can get a vaccine for something called monkeypox, especially if I'm not in danger of getting it. Like, why would I? That seems to be a little bit ridiculous and redundant to me. But let me move to a different health issue, and that is the health of our people to protect themselves. You know, in just a matter of days, the New York Supreme, or not the New York Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court will make a ruling on the New York case regulating the ability to conceal carry in New York City, and possibly expand that ruling to affect the entirety of the country. Now, you've heard us talk with numbers of different minds on this in recent days, and there is some thinking that this decision could reach quite far in terms of how it broadly interprets the Constitution's definition of the right to not keep arms. That's been well established, but to be able to bear them constitutionally, I am what you would consider a constitutional carry advocate. I believe that every non-criminal citizen that has not been ruled out for mental health issues has the right to carry and to defend themselves regardless of circumstances. But we'll see where that goes. But having said all that, obviously in the aftermath of the shootings from the last couple of weeks, the president is being peppered with this nonstop. And today he revived a pro-gun control talking point that has been repeatedly debunked in recent years. He told reporters on Memorial Day that the Second Amendment didn't allow for the ownership of cannons when it was adopted as part of the Bill of Rights in 1791. These were his exact words. The Second Amendment was never absolute. You couldn't buy a cannon when the Second Amendment was passed. You couldn't go out and purchase a lot of weapons. He's repeated the claim at least five times during his presidency, despite it earning him four Pinocchios from the Washington Post and a false label from PolitiFact. Now, it doesn't get more left-wing than PolitiFact and the Washington Post. But he's had three false labels from PolitiFact for making the statement, four Pinocchios from the Washington Post on it in 2021. And he made the claim again this last week after the Robb Elementary School shooting in Uvalde. He said the Second Amendment is not absolute. When it was passed, you couldn't own a cannon. You couldn't own certain kinds of weapons. It's just there's always been limitations. He said the Second Amendment from the day it was passed limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Now, let me just pause right there, because I don't see either of those things argued in the Second Amendment. It doesn't say who is allowed to own, and it doesn't say what they're allowed to own. Now, am I in favor of selling automatic weapons, like, you know, similar to what the military uses on the battlefield? No. But do I feel like every law-abiding citizen should be allowed to carry one on their person to protect themselves? Yes. The Second Amendment, as it is written, does not limit who can keep or bear arms or what kinds of arms people can keep and bear. Federal gun regulation didn't come until 1934, decades after the Second Amendment was put into the Constitution, this according to PolitiFact. The Constitution does, however, give Congress the power to grant letters of marque and reprisal, which were government licenses that allowed civilians to attack and detain vessels of countries at war with the U.S. Individuals who were given these waivers and owned warships obviously were allowed to obtain cannons for use in battle, the Post reported. The White House did not respond. But this is the problem. We have in this night where we're trying to talk about what gun safety looks like and how you practically implement that, whether it be more guns by way of additional security guards at schools to keep children safe and healthy, whether it be fewer guns, as the people that oppose me would argue, and have less opportunity for people to buy them, particularly people that are mentally ill. You know, this is what that debate is about, but it is not about whether or not someone could own a cannon or not. That's historically proven. And the sad thing about it is this president seems completely incapable, or he's just refusing to admit the truth. One of the two. He might have, you know, some part of his brain that's not remembering it, or he's just willfully not being truthful about it. But what he's saying is absolutely false. Constitution gives no directive as to who's allowed to own and what types of gun they're allowed to own. And when you hear him say things from like earlier this week where he's talking about the fact that 9mm rounds are high caliber, and how he says that, you know, when he goes to the hospital, the guy showed him that if you get shot with a .22, you can dig that out of the lung and maybe save the life, but the, you know, that the 9mm blows the lung completely out of the human body. First of all, I don't think either one of those things are true. I think that the 22 caliber firearm shell, I think that round will do a lot of damage to a person's lung, just like a 9mm will. 9mm is bigger. It will create more damage to the human body as it is, you know, penetrating through the tissue. But unless you're talking about the 22 caliber pellet gun, which, knowing the president, he might have been referring to the pellet version of the 22. Well, that would have probably a noticeably smaller, you know, impact on the human being. But that's not what we're talking about when it comes to defending your home, when it comes to defending yourself or your family. And the right to keep and bear arms doesn't identify which arms it's talking about. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I know that tonight is not legal night, therefore we won't argue the legalities of all this. But from a safety standpoint, what he is saying about owning cannons practically doesn't apply and functionally doesn't support his argument. And I still think that what we need to do is we need to ask more questions about how to harden and make safe our schools and public places so that bad guys, demented and evil people, don't feel free to act out. Kevin McCullough coming right back.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Every week we promise you you're going to get a straight answer to a real-life question from the one and only Mike Connors. And Mike, this week's question comes from Bobby from Queens. Bobby writes, I am a widow, and I want to leave everything to my only son. He's in a rocky marriage, and I want to make sure his wife gets nothing from me. How can I make sure of this? Thanks, Bobby from Queens. Mike Connors.
All right. Well, the problem's not that great. We put the assets in a trust, and it goes from the child to the grandchildren. A lot of different what-ifs. Who's going to be the trustee if something happens to the son? It's a solvable problem. It's just what options are available, and we talk it over, and we should be able to come up with a good plan.
You know, sadly, these types of situations do occur in which you don't necessarily want someone getting something. But let me ask you, Mike, generally speaking, Is it ideal to have even some minor conflicts work through so that ultimately, you know, a situation can be resolved with less acrimony than this particular situation, per se?
Yeah, in this case, maybe name somebody else to be the trustee, and the son can say, hey, I don't have any control of it. My cousin has control, or my brother, or whatever. You know, this is an only child case, though. But there are a lot of different ways to go, and but there is a solution. We put it in trust, so it doesn't go straight to the estate of the son, that it goes to the grandchildren.
And friends, if you want to, maybe you have a similar situation. And again, you know, each one of these has a lot of nuance to them. And that's what makes Connors and Sullivan so great. They understand exactly how to construct it for you. 718-238-6500. Call them today, 718-238-6500. And send your questions to AskMikeConnors@gmail.com. And then be listening as he answers on his own show, 8 a.m. Saturday mornings on AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. And Sunday mornings starting at 11 on AM 970. The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year will not last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop the My Slippers. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. Remember, for a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. Order now. 800-651-0798. 800-651-0798. Use the promo code AM970 or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code AM970.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Mike Gallagher sees things stacking up.
Remember what they said when the new election law went into place in Georgia? It suppresses the vote. That's what Biden and the Democrats kept screaming. Well, apparently not. It is falling apart, and they are headed for a massive reckoning.
The Mike Gallagher Show. Weekdays at 10 on AM 970. The Answer. We aren't mainstream news. We are the truth. AM 970. The Answer. Back to Kevin McCullough and Radio Night Live from New York.
All right, it's Wellness Night, and, you know, we do come at this from a variety of different perspectives. Not only do I have the Fox News Medical All-Stars join us each week, but we also take time to talk about nutrition. We talk about mental wellness. We talk about things in the exercise arena to help keep your body healthy and well. And it's just a passion of mine. I'm not a particularly, you know, athletic person, but I am getting into the best health I've ever been in my life. And I'm really grateful for that. And I think a lot of it has I've been motivated by some of the conversations we've been able to have here at the microphone on Wellness Night. Dr. Mark Siegel rejoins us. He is the grand poobah of the Fox News Medical All-Star team. And, Doc, I say this all the time, but you really have, I think, the best set of medical contributors anywhere in the world. And the ones, and I know that you kind of had a lot to do with who was gathered around and brought onto the team, and just to be congratulated for all the good stuff that you guys do. I'm just wondering if, from your perspective, is the media finally able to kind of move on to something beyond COVID? That has so dominated the discussion of health in the last 3 years for good reason. But there are other big challenges, are there not, to what people need to know to keep themselves healthy these days?
Well, that's been true from the beginning, Kevin. I don't think the conversation regarding COVID has been entirely about COVID or even partially about it. It's been about the politics of dealing with COVID. It's been the media coverage of it. The media lost interest in COVID a while ago because it stopped rating. media looks at ratings. Look, you take the war in Ukraine, the media's lost interest in that because it's not rating. People are tired of hearing about the same story over and over. Interesting thing about COVID is that they managed to milk it by putting enough twist to it. Now, to be fair, the virus had a lot of twists, right? The vaccine will prevent transmission. Oh, the vaccine doesn't prevent transmission, but it will decrease severity. Oh, you should take a booster. There's a rare risk of myocarditis. You know, here comes a new antiviral drug. Oh, do masks work? Don't they work? You know, people trying to get voted into office by whether masks work or not. All of that is insane. It's insane. Right. So if it had been a linear story, I bet if you had me up there on a webinar and I just gave a weekly update to the United States, everyone would be bored out of their minds and they'd move on, but they'd know the public health. How's that?
Yeah, well, there you go. So let me ask you this. Because this is the sense that I get in my own personal life. You know my good friends over at the Cats at Night show, and Lydia Serrani, my very good friend, just came back from a bout with COVID. She thought she had escaped it, had gotten all the way through. I think she had had a booster or two, was fully vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. She still got it. I still hear these occasional stories of people saying, you know, well, I had a breakthrough case, or, you know, I got it again, or I got it for the first time. And it just doesn't seem to me, and maybe I'm not hearing it this way, but, you know, a year ago, people were still like, oh, my gosh. And now it's kind of like, yeah, I got a cold or I got COVID. I got COVID, and I was home for a few days, but I'm back. Is that more or less where we're at with it now?
No, it's not. You know, that's another thing. It's like, I don't think that the idea that it was mismessaged before means that we now have to make it go away by calling it a cold. That's irresponsible. Gotcha. This sucker gets you sick. And this new variant doesn't get you as sick as older variants like Delta, but it can still get you sick. It can still lay you out the way the flu does. It's much better. It's much more accurate to compare this to the flu than the cold. Now, with all the rapid home testing, plenty of people are getting a cold out of it, or even less. So I'm not trying to pound the drum here. You know, patients get tested and they get positive and they don't even get sick. And that's been true from the beginning of the pandemic. But I still am seeing plenty of patients that get sick from it. I like Paxlovid. I use it a lot. You know, there's the issue of rebound, but I still use it a lot. So it's still something for me to deal with and treat, and something for me to be concerned about as a physician. The public hysteria has got to go. And I think we are at a point where all it is self-serving. And I'm not even sure, by the way, Kevin, that it serves anybody. Because the politicians aren't being voted into office on it. Yeah. I think maybe they're getting the memo. I mean, the Democrats are losing seats because of their treatment of COVID. Their meanness, the condescension, the, you know, we know you don't know, the new disinformation bureau. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't sit well with America.
No, you could get away with it in some other countries at different periods of history, but it really is not part of the American DNA, and that's sad. But I want to be practical in this conversation, Dr. Siegel. You always comment on how I desire to have that practical common sense side. You know, we're wrapping up the school year, and my kids finally got to take masks off sometime, you know, after January of this year, which we were very happy about and rejoiced in. And there's still sometimes on the playground or in the neighborhood, you know, the family that wears their N95s while they're walking the dog, and you just kind of get the feeling that they're just looking down on you for not doing that. Now, I do not want to tell anyone who's immune deficient or has other, like, you know, bona fide reasons to be worried about this virus that they should ever be, you know, self-conscious about needing to wear a mask. I think that if you want to wear a mask, you should have the right to wear a mask. But the whole we're better than you because we wear our masks thing, that is still a part of the conversation, at least in the day-to-day neighborhoods that, you know, America lives in. And I don't know how you fix that.
I think you have to fix it by having a more honest dialogue. And again, why are people even going to politicians for public health information? Well, why are they going to people that haven't seen patients? Well, here's the problem with that, though. Doctors get wrapped up in politics, too. I mean, I'm in a fairly unique position. And believe me, I'm not an arrogant person. But, I, you know, between between being on TV and my radio shows, I've been talking to the top experts in the country for the last 2 years, 2 years and 3 months, and I get different perspectives, a lot of different perspectives. Some people are pro-mask, some people are anti-mask, some people are pro-mandates, which I'm not. But, you know, people have explained different things to me in different perspectives, and I've put them together and drawn my conclusions. And plus, I studied viruses for 10 years before this pandemic. Now, I'm not the only person you should go to for information, but, you know, like, we don't need people that have no clue of even what a virus is to be talking about this. And that's part of the problem.
And writing, in essence, public health policy when it's not, you know, medically based. We're talking with Dr. Mark Siegel, who is the Fox News medical all-star kind of chief. He's the top doc over at the Fox News Channel. We're always honored to have him with us. When we come back, a couple of other questions facing our health needs currently, because I've got them, and I think he can answer when we continue. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, right now, it's the perfect time to try Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. We've got changing weather, cold one day, warm the next. You know, that's a recipe for bronchitis, for nasal infections, for sinus infections, etc. But this is why you should be on Balance of Nature, because they're not like ordinary vitamins made with synthetics. No, they are natural food in a vegetarian capsule with tens of thousands of vital nutrients that will help you fight off those nasty colds. Each capsule has 10 servings of 31 fruits and vegetables, and now you can give the gift of health through an annual subscription of Balance of Nature to your friends or family. Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of fruits and veggies when you call now. Good health is only a phone call away for those you love. So call Balance of Nature, 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code The Answer.
Attention homeowners. If you have a mortgage with Bank of America, Chase, Citibank, or any other major servicer, then you must pay attention. Regulators have reached a multi-million-dollar settlement over foreclosure abuse claims. Your mortgage may be satisfied already. If not, you may be eligible for a principal reduction or a rate reduction as low as 2%. Call 1-800-731-6469. If you've been denied for a loan modification, harassed by your bank, stuck in document and voicemail hell, stop the madness and stay in your home. Barney Giannone, attorney at law, can help. Call 1-800-731-6469. Are you facing foreclosure? Received a summons or complaint behind on your mortgage? Call Barney Giannone. Foreclosure defense, mortgage modifications, and we will appear in court to defend your rights. Get help now and get protected.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at am970theanswer.com. And now, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, so glad to have you with us. And it's an honor to have Dr. Jeanette Nishwat of the Fox News Medical All-Stars joining us. She does such a great job, and I've really been moved by her personal passions over the last year. She's been not only part of our show, but taking her talents to other places on the globe that needed them. And her two trips to the Ukraine and what she saw there, I just thought was really, really great for the American people to be exposed to, and doing the great work that needed to be done as we continue to try to hope that the innocent people are the ones that can survive that conflict and come out the other side. Speaking of which, we don't often talk a lot about the good news on this broadcast, and we should do more of that. But this last week, there was a finding, a statistical finding, a study of sorts, that said some good things about a little drink that I love to drink every morning. Dr. Jeanette Nishwat, what did we discover about the black gold that is coffee?
It's actually good for you, even though about 40 years ago, coffee was listed as a carcinogen by the World Health Organization because of some of the trace chemicals that were in it. But this most recent study found that if you drink coffee daily, it can increase your lifespan by anywhere from 16 to 21% and reduce your risk of things like cancers and heart disease and reduce the risk of depression, suicide, Parkinson's and some other forms of cancer like prostate cancer and melanoma.
Wow.
Very exciting.
Is there any kind of limitations as to what they classified as coffee? Is it drinking it black? Is it okay if you add the cream and sugar? Was there any discussion of how it is processed? For instance, instant coffee versus ground, beans, et cetera?
Yeah. That's a good question. So believe it or not, you can get the same benefits whether it's decaf coffee or regular coffee. And what does that tell us? That it's not all just about
the caffeine.
Coffee has the highest source of antioxidants in the American diet, believe it or not, is
more
from
so
coffee.
than red wine or
yes coffee.
Wow.
Is the winner. So it's high in antioxidants, and then other vitamins and minerals like potassium and phosphorus and chromium. Those are things that can help reduce your blood sugar and help with your mood and that sort of thing. But as far as the type of coffee, you have to be careful. If you're adding half a tub of sugar in your coffee, of course that's going to negate the benefits. But a little bit of milk or cream, a little small amount is okay. It's not going to negate the benefits of coffee. But of course, if you have any underlying medical issues like gastritis or ulcers, or if you have allergies or any other medical conditions, you always want to speak to your doctor first before you start drinking, especially if you've never done it before.
Sure.
Moderation is always the key.
No, I know that that's true. And I it was fun for me to see this because I haven't always been a big coffee drinker, but I would say probably over the last 5 years, I've gone to a cup or two in the morning. And that's about all I need. But it is, and I've gotten to the point where, when I was younger, I needed all that cream and sugar and stuff in it to make it taste good. I just drink it black now. And I'm curious if espresso versus like Americano, if it's stronger and more potent, does that make any difference? Was there any indication in the study as to what type of brew it is?
Yeah, so it does make a difference. Of course, espresso has a higher content of caffeine, and it's recommended to not to exceed more than 400 milligrams of caffeine daily. If you do so, you could potentially have interference with your sleeping patterns. It can cause heart palpitations. So you do want to be careful as far as the amount of caffeine that you're consuming.
Right.
Again, it's important to note that decaf offers same benefits. But yeah, the type, whether it's regular coffee, or an espresso, it does make a difference. There is a different amount of caffeine.
Do you know what the average amount of those milligrams is in, say, a regular Americano versus an espresso?
Oh, yeah. So a regular cup of coffee contains anywhere from about 90 to 100 milligrams of caffeine. And it contains about 150 milligrams of antioxidants, 150 to 200. So you will probably get an extra 50 to 60 milligrams if you're doing the espresso versus the regular. But still, all good for you. But again, the key is moderation. Don't overdo it.
No, that's really important. I had a cousin that was older than me by about 10 or 12 years when I was growing up, and he actually had a medical condition that his doctor, and this was back in the 70s, but his doctor had to tell him to reduce his coffee consumption. And when he would tell this story, everybody was like, well, we just drink a cup or so in the morning. What is he asking you to cut back? Well, he needs me to cut it back to, 3/4 less than what I'm drinking. And we were all like, Charles, how much coffee are you drinking? He goes, I don't know, 15 to 20 cups a day. I'm like, That's probably not good for you.
That's a lot.
Dr. Nishua, we always appreciate you being with us. Thanks for being here tonight.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
You got it. Kevin McCullough coming right back.
There's nothing like hearing the songs you love on local radio with no subscriptions and no monthly fees. But there's a new bill in Congress that could stop the music. If passed, this bill would tax your local radio station simply to play the music you love. Text LOCAL to 52886 and ask Congress to support local radio stations. Help us keep you connected to the music, local news, weather, and traffic that you need each day. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Real estate is hot. condos, co-op, single and multifamily homes, as well as business properties. And there's never been a better time to know what forces are driving the real estate market. Knowledge is power. AM 970 The Answer is proud to present Eye on Real Estate with Dottie Herman, your premier source for real estate information. From the heart of New York City and the tri-state area to the most active real estate hotspots across America, keeping you plugged in to the latest real estate market trends, from mortgage news and legal developments to everything you need to know about buying or selling a property. Benefited by the advice of the experts and guided by its host, one of the most knowledgeable voices in the industry, Douglas Elliman's vice chair, the world-famous Dottie Herman. If you're thinking about buying or selling a property or both, tune in to Eye on Real Estate with Dottie Herman, sponsored by Citizens Bank on AM 970 The Answer.
Spring means new beginnings and growth. So let's get your business's seeds planted with Salem Surround. Let us help your website bring you the leads your business needs to thrive. Let's make sure people find you faster and easier on the web. Our amazing team of media strategists are here to serve you with boots on the ground and real-world expertise. We live right here and know the communities you're trying to reach. We're media strategists, and we're very, very good at what we do. So let's grow together.
Visit Salem Surround New York.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Dennis Prager is not a fan.
You know, I've never called a president a bad name in my 40 years of broadcasting. We have a thug for a president. He's always been a thug. He's the most corrupt president in American history. He's the most dishonest. There has never been a president who so divided his people as Joe Biden.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
New Jersey is currently participating in a governor's challenge, asking state military and civilian teams to embark on a process of collaborating, planning, and implementing suicide prevention best practices for service members, veterans, and their families statewide. Effective suicide prevention takes a combination of efforts to achieve far-reaching statewide changes and improvements. Stay tuned for future announcements on three priority areas that the New Jersey team is working on, and learn more about what you can do to help prevent suicide among service members, veterans, and their families. If you or someone you know is in emotional distress and or thinking about suicide, please call the confidential National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. This message is sponsored by the New Jersey Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services, the New Jersey Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, the New Jersey Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Our hosts tell it like it is. No safe spaces here. AM 970, The Answer. And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. It is Wellness Night, so we don't normally talk about things like what we are tonight. But it's an unusual day, and it's a sobering day. It's a somber day for any parent that wakes up in the country today and doesn't have, you know, a second thought when they're dropping their kids off at school, like I did this morning. There's something wrong with you. But I don't think we can just get, you know, very emotional and talk about nebulous things like gun lobbies and this type of stuff. I think we've got to take real concrete action, and we've got to hold our public officials to that action and say, you've got to do something about this. I don't know where my next guest comes down on all this, but I'm always sure that she has an opinion on it. You know her from the Fox News Channel. She's one of the, well, we call her the OG here at Radio Night Live. She's our wellness expert, but she's also part of the Fox News Medical All-Star team. Dr. Nicole Sapphire, always honored to have you with us. Thank you for spending part of your Wednesday with us. You're a doctor. You have strong opinions about things, but you are a first and foremost a mom. And I mean to the root core of your story. Motherhood is connected there. You saw what happened. What was your reaction yesterday?
Well, Kevin, I mean, I can tell you that, I mean, devastation was obviously my first emotion. I found myself crying intermittently a little bit last night, commuting home from work, kind of listening to the coverage. This morning, again, on my way to work, I found myself getting choked up hearing some of the stories of what had occurred, the 12 hours preceding. And, you know, it's interesting. It's like Groundhog Day all over again on social media. The moment you have a crisis, I mean, it turns to a quick, you know, Second Amendment pro-gun argument. And, you know, the fact that people just dial this down, thinking it is so simple, and that the argument is binary and has some simple solution, it's really offensive to the children who lost their lives and their mourning family members. I mean, it is not as simple as gun legislation. Listen, when it comes to children and mortality, the three leading causes of death in kids: firearms, motor vehicle accidents, and cancer. In 2020, which is the most recent year that we actually have data on, firearms were the number one cause of death. And here's the thing, though. While these situations where we see these mass shootings in malls, in schools, they take up the airwaves, they are tragic to the core, that is not where most children die. Most children die because they get a hold of a gun in their own home that is unsecured, or they're dying in their neighborhoods close to home because of gun violence. And all of this has been perpetuated by a lot of things that have happened throughout the pandemic. You know, you hear a lot about mental illness, and mental illness certainly contributes to gun violence, but it's not all gun violence. And so it has to be a multifactorial approach. And I know you follow me on Twitter, Kevin, and one of the things that I was thinking this morning that I decided to put on Twitter was, where is the same veracity when it comes to protecting our kids? Mm-hmm. Think of what we have to go through to get on an airplane with the TSA and everything else. Think of the stuff we have to go through to get into a music venue. Where is the same security in our schools for our children? You right. know, the early reports said that there wasn't a safety officer on campus. And they had that the gunman entered through an unlocked door. Why don't they have single entry that is guarded to make sure that the most precious thing in our lives, our children, our younger generations, are protected? We have done a complete disservice to them throughout the last couple of years through closing schools and the mandates and the restrictions, and we're still doing that. And it is the public health policy placed by adults that are continuing to fail our children.
It is a heartbreaking situation that does not have to happen. And I wrote a piece in 2018 that has been read by millions of people on townhall.com. In fact, it's one of Town Hall's most read pieces in the history of the website. And it was seven steps that any community could take that doesn't cost a ton of money. And you don't have to have politicians involved. This is the beautiful thing about this. You don't have to have one politician ask for a vote to do any of the following. But putting metal detectors at doors... You mentioned security at airplanes and taking travel and so forth. Very simple thing. Controlled traffic. You just mentioned this. An open door on a side part of the building that shouldn't even, that no one should have access to that. Where's the common sense in if somebody's going to get in the building, they've got to come through one way, and that's where you put that security officer. And by the way, don't put him there with a nightstick. Put him there with a firearm so that if somebody comes loaded with real evil intent in their heart, you can actually do something to neutralize that threat. But these are such common sense things. And after Parkland and after Sandy Hook and after Buffalo and after Laguna and after Uvalde, I'm wondering, Nicole, why it is that we have not. I mean, I saw Steve Kerr from the Golden State Warriors come out and make a speech last night. No, I'm not going to talk about basketball. I'm going to talk about, you know, the gun lobby, this nebulous thing called the gun lobby. I own six firearms, Nicole. I've never met someone from the gun lobby. I don't even know what that is. And I know for one thing, it's not going to make any school safer tomorrow. But these types of things, putting retired law enforcement, military officers in schools, actual schools, we don't want to put them in there with guns because it has some sort of image. We're scared to have, you know, military or police or whatever in there. I don't care about that. I care about my kids being alive at the end of the day.
Well, Kevin, unfortunately, I think we'd like to get to a place as a society, as a community, where we don't actually need military in our children's school, that we could get to a place where we're comfortable, that we don't have to have an armed guard to protect them. Obviously, we are not right there right now. And I don't think it is as simple as gun control to save our children, because what does gun control do for the large majority of it? While it removes a lot of legal firearms, but it doesn't do much for the illegal firearms. But I think undoubtedly that, as I said, it's not binary. It is not black and white. Should this 18-year-old child who had had increasingly bizarre behavior be able to go and buy a rifle on his 18th birthday, which several days later he goes and massacres, killing 19 children? No, I don't think so. He can't even buy beer. He can't buy beer. He can't buy a vape, but he can go buy a rifle. And this is a problem. And so, again, it is not about taking away the freedom for all Americans, but it is looking at this policy a little bit more and trying to understand what we are doing. But also the focus needs to be really on removing those illegal weapons off the street, because the illegal weapons are what we are seeing in our communities with gun violence in, you know, lower socioeconomic
particularly
areas.
Particularly so about those young men, the youth factor. You mentioned gun violence in their own neighborhoods. We could do an entire lifetime study on the south side of Chicago and talk about the number of young black men that have killed other young black men and talk about where those guns came from and what's happened there. And again, there's 56 gun laws on the books that governed Laguna, Buffalo, and Uvalde. 56 gun laws that already exist. Demented and sick and twisted people don't always follow gun laws. And that's, I think, part of the problem. We're talking with Nicole Sapphire, my very special guest on this Wellness Wednesday. Stay with us a few more minutes with her. Coming back.
Numbers mean much to me because of prostate cancer. I'm Johnny Braggs, the number two for my stepfather who died of prostate cancer, and my uncle who suffered so much after prostate cancer surgery. The number 15, 15 years since Dr. Lederman's successful treatment of my prostate cancer. The number zero, which is my PSA, zero, after Dr. Lederman's successful prostate cancer treatment, what every man wants. The numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, important for every man with prostate cancer. 1, getting the most successful treatment. 2, avoiding radical robotic surgery. 3, keeping sexual function. 4, maintaining urinary control. Call my Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES, to consider his prostate cancer treatment for you. Most insurances, Medicare, Medicaid accepted. 1384 Broadway at 38th. Call 212-CHOICES for prostate cancer treatment. Call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES. I'm glad I did. You'll be number one with Dr. Lederman.
Before Bamboo HR, I feel like crying just thinking about it.
We were still handling everything via paper, and we literally had paper stacked.
It was all in spreadsheets and like folders.
From the moment I started using it, I felt calmer.
As soon as we started using the Bamboo like onboarding checklist, I mean, it was extremely easy.
Headcount, turnover, years of service. Like, there's just so many different reports that I use at different points in time.
I'm like totally set free to focus on the people, to focus on development, to focus on team dynamics.
It's freeing me up to do more of the stuff that actually matters in HR, which is interacting with people, learning from them, and then building stuff for them.
Everything is in this one place. I can't even imagine what it would be like without Bamboo HR.
We're Bamboo HR, and we'd love to set you free to do great work. Come try our award-winning all-in-one HR software for free with no strings attached. Visit BambooHR.com/HR for this free trial offer. That's BambooHR.com/HR.
Hey, I just spoke to my buddy Alex Kinsella at Route 22 Toyota, and he told me that anyone looking to beat these ridiculous gas prices should get over to see them at Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey. That's because they've got one of the area's largest inventories of new Toyota vehicles, including the most fuel-efficient vehicles, like the 39-mile-per-gallon Toyota Camry, the 41-mile-per-gallon RAV4 Hybrid, or the one that started it all, Toyota Prius, which gets a combined 56 miles per gallon. No need to remortgage your house just to fill up the tank. Call Route 22 Toyota at 973-705-8905. Let them show you which fuel-efficient Toyota is right for you. Plus, they're making it easier than ever to get out of your gas guzzler by offering 125% of book value on your trade. That's right, any make, any model. 973-705-8905. Schedule an appointment at Route 22 Toyota. They'll give you 125% book value towards a fuel-efficient Toyota. And remember, tell them Joe Piscopo sent you.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Brandon Tatum is next on AM970, The Answer.
Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
You know, the interesting thing about wellness is that there are many different aspects of life that contribute to it, right? So there's the things you physically eat. There's the exercise that you physically do. There are the types of activities that you involve yourself in. There's the just a variety of things that you can think about and focus on and all sorts of things. And in the process of trying to be well, many times it is a lot of those other non-physical elements that bring us to a state of wellness or not. And it's interesting to see where sometimes the suggestions for that come from. Now, you know, we have Jane Ann Benaira on a regular basis. She's always trying to help us think about being healthier in, you know, our mental arena and what we're doing there. But someone else weighed in on something like that today. This was before the decision in the Depp Heard trial came down. But Monica Lewinsky actually wrote an op-ed calling that trial a courtroom porn and a pure car wreck. And listen to what she says here. She says, "We become so attuned to this narrow, cynical cycle of social media encounters that we consider this trial not tragic or pathetic, but as a pure car wreck, accessible, tawdry, immediately gratifying." She called the seven-week spectacle courtroom porn that the public now consumes through biased social media feeds. She says, "We are drenched in the taint of the dirt and aggression of the social media wars." She, of course, was vilified over her affair with then-President Bill Clinton when she was a White House intern in the 90s. She said, "Having been on the receiving end of this kind of cruelty," and I do think that's an important thing to take note in her observations here. She says, "I can tell you that the scars never fade." She wrote, noting that the negative online discourse was predominantly directed at Amber Heard, quote, the woman. Depp is suing Heard for over $50 million over an op-ed she wrote identifying herself as a domestic abuse victim. Heard is countersuing for $100 million. The seven-member jury came to that decision earlier today. She said the obsessive chatter around the Depp Heard trial is just one small example of the ever-expanding, ever-demanding search for schadenfreude and titillation. No matter whom the jury's verdict favored, be it the Heard or the plaintiff, we are all guilty. And I thought that was a pretty astute observation from someone who, like she said, has lived with scars of some bad decisions of her own in her past. Anyway, that's it for Radio Night Live tonight. Now, yet to come this week, we will talk about that trial's outcome tomorrow night with Imran Ansari, amongst other things. I know it's kind of getting into the slow days of summer, but there will be plenty of legal news to dissect. And then we are going to talk with Christine Nicholas on Friday night. I believe this is the last night that we have a chance to be with the head of the Broadway Association before the actual Tony Awards. So we'll chat with her about her expectations there and have other special guests on the Friday edition as well. All said, Kevin McCullough, glad to have had you with us for this Wednesday and hope you will have a spectacular evening. And we'll see you next time.